Waking up with a cup of Joe.
This is not an herbal tea morning. This is a coffee morning.
The Sound of Life.
Elevation Worship there and do it again. It's 6:38. It absolutely is. And let's set up. This is really pretty cool right here because Emily Turner had a pretty good job. I would imagine it was as an attorney with the U.S. Housing and Urban Development. And a couple of years ago, she just quit, walked out, and she said, I'm going to open a grilled cheese restaurant. I imagine people were like, okay. You know, maybe they just kind of rolled their eyes behind their head or something like that. But she actually worked on prisoner reentry as part of her job, housing segregation and fair housing. But she was frustrated because she just didn't feel like part of the solution. And maybe that's where God put her and made her feel frustrated because of that. So she opened a grilled cheese restaurant. It was a new way to fight for justice. That's right. Listen, to get a job at the nonprofit restaurant, you need a criminal record. You don't hear that every day. In fact, you probably never thought you would hear that. On Mondays, when the restaurant closes, employees take classes in entrepreneurship and law. Emily Turner opened up a grilled cheese restaurant where the only requirement is that you need a criminal record. You don't hear that? I tell you, it's amazing. You can check it all out at the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook news feed. You'll see it.
Oh, you've got to admit, that is pretty neat.
The Sound of Life with Toby Mack there at 6:30 on a Tuesday morning. I know it's not like officially Columbus Day, but he still hadn't discovered the San Salvador yet. So I can still talk about Columbus. I got to tell you about something. Speaking of, you know, I get upset about, it's way more important about care nets around the crisis pregnancy support places and things like that. People just spreading falsehoods about them. Is a lot more important than about Columbus, but we've gotten to the point where we just, like a lot of places, they don't even want to say the name. They hate him. He was just a terrible, evil person. I'm going to tell you about something about him that you will know forever after this, and it will change the way that you look at him. But right now, here's Mike and Tyler on Cup of Joe Morning Show. Mike and Tyler from Texas, man. You got a lot of cool food there in Texas.
Hey, listen, I can even navigate to their menu too. See, Buda, Texas has a restaurant there that I call all things to all people. Now, I don't eat there, but it's called Joe's Pizza and Pasta Italian and Mexican Restaurant. It gets better, though, because they have crawfish on Thursday night. They have a sign that says Best Burger in Town, karaoke on Tuesdays, and they have a big country breakfast every morning.
That's hilarious.
So I just love that.
It's like all nations under one roof, and none of it is great.
That's awesome. The Sound of Life. Dan Bremner's there and his new song, Wherever I Go, at 6:38. Oh, yes. Good morning to you. You know, when I learned a little bit about Columbus back in the day, and then I realized that he was a man of great faith, he really was, and he wrote it in his diary and stuff, and the more I learned about his faith, the more it started making sense that the real part about his faith would be overshadowed by some really bad things that people say about him. And the fact that really the enemy does not want that to get out. The fact that he was on a mission, really, from God. Now, I want to take you back generations in his family to the Mediterranean. And an ancestor of Columbus is on a boat in the Mediterranean, and they rescue a sinking ship that got torn apart in a storm. And it turns out that the man who they rescued is a Franciscan monk, and he is on his way out of the Mediterranean across the ocean to deliver the gospel. That was his idea. Unfortunately, he died in the arms of one of Columbus's ancestors, okay? And so this, he actually heard this missionary talking about this idea of sending missionaries to a land that people who were ignorant of the gospel. And it was repeated over and over in Columbus's bloodline. Stefano Colombo told it to his descendants until it came down to Christopher. Christopher means Christ bearer. Why would they name him Christ bearer as a baby? He grew up hearing send men there. So he was not primarily looking for a trade route to the Indies in 1492, although that was the motive. Magellan, who less than 30 years later came after Columbus and went, took his 14 ships and went in, ended up going all the way around the world, was really looking for another trade route. It was a big deal to keep people from having to go through Arab-occupied lands in what is now, you know, the Middle East there, because it was very dangerous coming back from the Spice Islands with your treasures, right? So really it was to fulfill a dream that Christopher Columbus had, and it was going to be, and Spain was going to finance basically one more crusade to reclaim the Holy Land from the Muslims. That's kind of the way he saw it. All right, that's one of those ideas. Now, if you present that idea in public today, woo, Christopher Columbus actually wrote a book of prophecies, which hardly anybody knows about nowadays. It has 84 pages in a book of prophecies, and you hardly ever see anything written about him in from his diary that he wrote down, saying that the Lord had put it on his heart, and you know, to travel and do that. And you have to remember, too, in those days, in the 1500s, if you had a job in London in a rat-infested factory, there was no way you were going to leave those joys and go get on a ship that was going to sail for weeks and weeks and weeks in an unknown territory into storms and whatnot. You know, it was just not the thing to do. So in order to get people to do that, you know, some of the people that you sailed with were not the most scrupulous of people. So that's one of the things that you have to take into consideration. Anyway, a little bit about Columbus there that I thought maybe you could stick in your back of your brain. Let's go with your feet on the rock. Yeah, 736. Boy, is that ever evident today with storms all around the world and things. Unfortunately, we see the results of sand and mud and, you know, not being on the rock. Wow. Okay, moving right along here, we've got Ben and Holiday, a young couple, got a two-year-old. I almost feel like this is like a beginning of a Twilight Zone amazing thing. They saved up the money to repay their parents, who gave them season tickets to the college football stadium, you know, for the season. And it was over $1,000, and they had it in cash in an envelope. And one day, the envelope went missing. Yes. And so, boy, you turn your house upside down, and you're like, what? I know I put it. Okay. That's probably happened in your house. It's happened in our house, looking for various things. It was not $1,000 in cash, but it was equally as valuable. The title to a car. Been there, done. Where's the title? I thought you put it in there. So anyway, they did find it. Bear in mind, they have a two-year-old who watches mom like a hawk. Okay? If there was ever evidence, or you needed evidence that your children are watching and emulating you in word and deed, this is it, right here. They were just searching and searching, and eventually, mom, I guess, Jackie picked up the paper shredder bin, and she found the cash as confetti. It was shredded. The child emulated and repeated what he saw his mother do, putting paper into. Don't you know that must have been fun with all that money going through the paper shredder? Too bad they didn't have a security camera going. That's what would have really made this story funny. Little child sitting there in this glee, watching 20s get shredded, you know. And they said they just stood there and looked at the pile for like 20 minutes. You know, there must have been like, you know, the emotions that ran through them. It's just like, well, you can't blame the child. The child is two. Here's the interesting thing, though. As it turns out, the couple can reclaim the value of the cash. I mean, they did create a pretty painful jigsaw puzzle for someone to work out. But if they submit a claim to the U.S. Department of the Treasury's Bureau of Engraving and Printing, well, they should be reimbursed anywhere between 6 months and 3 years. Well, that's kind of normal, isn't it? But you know what they should have said before that's all this happened?
Now, what's that? I say, now, what's that boy up to?
That's what they should have said.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
The Sound of Life. Good morning. Hey, I'm Joe. It's Cup of Joe Morning Show here on a Tuesday at 8:31. 60s out right now. Russ says, what is it this afternoon? 70s? Well, I believe it when I see it, you know? Well, we're in that season, you know, here we are getting into October, and it's, I love the colors of October. I'm not really crazy about pumpkin spice. I mean, I could drink a lot of things that had pumpkin spice flavored. A shop in the neighborhood there offering pumpkin spice oil changes. Probably get a laugh, see who goes for that, actually. I'm sorry. You know, and I got some pumpkin spice pretzels. They're, I don't know, I saw it and I just impulse bought it for everybody else. I can't eat them, which is probably a good thing. Sometimes being a celiac, you know, patient, gluten-free patient, saves you from things like that. But it doesn't save you, like this time of the year, what gets me is like the obvious ugliness of the horror stuff. Like you run into the drugstore to get some razors, and boom, you open, you look up, and there's a 12-foot grim reaper of death standing there, you know, with a big Sith. And you're like, whoa, like that, you know. Or like somebody in the neighborhood, which is not our neighborhood, thankfully. But, you know, why would anybody get like a 12-foot-wide spider to put over the top of their house? Nothing says you're loved like a gigantic reminder that there's probably more where this came from. I don't know. But God wants you to know that you are, in his eyes, beloved. So the Nobel Prize winners are all coming out and everything. And I'll tell you the truth. I mean, I don't know them. I haven't heard of them and pay much attention to them and stuff. But there is one of them that I found out about who has been working in the DRC, as they call it, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, right there in Central Africa. And he got the Nobel Peace Prize. He has shared the Nobel Peace Prize. And he's nicknamed Dr. Miracle. Boy, isn't that pretty cool? That's quite a nickname right there. He turns out he is a gynecologist who happens to be a Christian. And he has really dedicated his career to caring for victims of rape in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And his name is Dennis Mukwege. I believe that's how you pronounce it. And he just specialized in this. He's the co-recipient there, and he another woman who, by the way, survived rape and kidnapping at the hands of ISIS in Iraq. They both got the Nobel Prize winners, and he modeled efforts to end the use of sexual violence as a weapon of war. Over the past 20 years, he has treated tens of thousands of women in his hospital, many of who have been just really abused in the worst way. I don't even know what to say. In the midst of this country's conflict and what's going on there, they've just scarred and stigmatized, and he is in the middle of all that. How easy would it be to flee that area and say, I'm out of here, you know, I'm a doctor, I'm going to live a life of comfort. But to stay there and to help those women, thousands of women, the effect that he has. And I'm glad he got the recognition. How did they find out about him? Somebody got on the phone and said, you know what, this guy right here is just an amazing guy. So, Dennis, God loves you, man, and the work you've been doing all those years. You know, he didn't have anybody recognize him or anything like that. And the awfulness of how people can be. A light is really shining. It's pretty cool. So I thought I'd fill you in on that. I'll post that article on the Cup of Joe Morning Show. Fixing there. I'm Joe. Welcome to Cup of Joe Morning Show. This is Pat Barrett right here on Cup of Joe Morning Show. On a day that really feels like summer. Early this morning, man, I got the windows open, prepared, all ready to go. Never know. Pat, you got a new song out called The Way.
Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the way that plays out in life can at times be tricky and nuanced, especially if you're facing things that you don't really see clear, but you know that you're supposed to trust. This song for me is just something I've sung over my family. It's something that we sung at our church back home in our communities, and we all have those things in our lives that cloud our vision and make it unclear at times what we should do next, but they can all come with us as we set our eyes on Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life.
This is Pat Barrett on Cup of Joe Morning Show.
You're a national treasure.
Your daily dose of encouragement.
I would suggest to you, however, that you do something about your sense of humor.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Working on it, I guess. 614, one of the four ways to add depth to your perception of your child is think. Don't be distracted from opportunities to discuss deeply hurt feelings from the heart of your child. And coming up in 7.5 minutes, Tim Kimmel's talking about that. We need to make it easy for our kids to voice their heart in troubling things. They were both that word heart for your child used in both. Unrelated, but yet guided by God. You know, every neighborhood has strangers that kind of wander around from time to time. And police in Michigan were trying to find the owner of a mystery donkey that was found wandering loose in the road. Township police said, the little guy, as they called him, was spotted wandering down a road in the area and was captured by police and was taken to a local farmer for temporary housing till they can find the owner. You know, here might be a bear wandering down the road, and we just kind of let them do whatever they want to do. Oh, you're not likely to forget this analogy right here. You know, every year, unused money from gift cards is supposed to be around $1 billion. $1 billion of unused gift cards. But the question for us is, are we using all of our gift from God? The Sound of Life, kind of a Worship Wednesday going right here. I'll tell you, Hillsong Worship there at 7:40. Well, the Nobel Prizes are being given out, and we always pay attention to the Nobel Peace Prize. And I've never heard of this man, and you probably haven't either. His name is Dr. Dennis McWeege. At least that's the way I heard it pronounced on thepronouncer.com. So that's what I'm going with. He's from the Congo. Well, that's where he lives. He's a surgeon educated in France. He also happens to be a Christian, which may lead you to think, oh, that, I guess that's why he would run into a really dangerous part. Where he lives in Africa, if you set it up, you go back into the 90s, like 96, and you had that genocide in Rwanda. Well, after that, they invaded the eastern part of the Congo. The reason was to eradicate the remaining forces responsible for that Rwandan genocide a couple of years before. But it ended up just becoming this big war. They called it Africa's World War. And it just kept going on and on. And there was all kinds of armies involved, five different militias. By 2008, 5.4 million people have died. Countless women sexually assaulted as a military tactic. Now, I'm going to describe some things that are really pretty ugly in order to shine a light in the middle of all of that. So bear with me on that because, you know, let's be clear. I mean, rape as a weapon of war is not limited to Central Africa, and it has been around as long as warfare itself. But it is really terrible there in this central part of Africa, and that's where Dennis McWeege comes in. He's a French-trained surgeon, as I said. In 1999, he opened up a hospital in the country's most war-torn region. Since its opening, they have treated over 85,000 patients who have complex gynecological damage and trauma. 60% of the injuries have been caused by sexual violence. He has been dubbed the man who mends women. I mean, he has ferocious critics and people, and a lot of them are from the governments there. He gave a speech back in 2012 at the United Nations. You get worldwide attention there. And he was highly critical of the Congolese government and others for failing to stop what he called an unjust war that has used violence against women and rape as a strategy of war. And, man, his words stuck because when he got home, men had arrested, or they attacked his home, they killed his bodyguard, they took his children as hostage, and he escaped and went into exile long enough to recover from his injuries and then went back to the Congo, to his home there 2 months later. It's incredible. When you learn about all the background of that man and the fact that he is a Christian. He ran toward the danger when, of course, the quote-unquote sensible thing to do would be to get as far away from it as you could. Probably no, you know, people probably like, oh, he's a Christian, because that's what they've always done, right? He's the son of a Pentecostal pastor and a minister himself, besides being a medical doctor. He was inspired to pursue medicine watching his father pray for the sick. It's pretty cool the way God works, isn't it? In working. You know, I always say God is working on levels that we can't see, can't possibly understand in ways that are phenomenal in all these storms going on. And here's an example right here. I'm just glad we were able to find out about it. I mean, he's just an incredible man and is certainly highly deserving of some type of an award here on earth. I'm sure he's got an award in heaven. He said, award or no award, this is, as Dr. McGweege puts it, the mission entrusted to us by Christ. And I'll tell you, it's probably something that you haven't heard about yet, but it's a walk for a really good cause. And I want to give you a statistic, but I want you to try to guess. You've heard about human trafficking, right? What do you think the average age of a trafficking victim is in the United States? Just think about it. Just get a figure in your mind. The average age is 15 years old. All right? And then the next question is, are you registered to walk for freedom? And it's all put on by a group called A21. And I had the great pleasure of talking to a person who's with A21, Jasmine Francis, right here on Cup of Joe. Morning show, Jasmine. Yes, what do you do with A21 now?
So I am a co-host for this year's Walk for Freedom for Poughkeepsie. So my pastor's wife and I decided that we wanted to do it in the city of Poughkeepsie this year because there is no walks up here. The
right.
Closest one besides this one is, in the city. We submitted that paperwork to A21, and they approved us, and so we're leading this year's walk in Poughkeepsie.
Wow. Now, a lot of people may be hearing about A21 for the very first time. I've been following you guys on Twitter. I just absolutely love it. I'm very excited. Jasmine, can you explain to my friends what A21 is all about?
Yes, A21 is an organization that is committed to ending human trafficking through a three-step program, so they rescue victims of human trafficking through working with local government and just information from different sources that they get. And then they put them into a home, one of their homes that they have across the country and across the world, whichever one is closest to them. And in that home, they give them rehabilitation. They do counseling. They do education. They help them get back on their feet. And then the third part of that program is to help them get financially stable through getting a job, finding them housing and things like that so they can support themselves.
Starting from very meager means in Europe and, of course, spreading around the world wherever they are needed. And in an era and an age right now where women are all in the news, you should know that 95% of survivors assisted here in the United States are female. All right? 70% of those USA survivors are under the age of 25. The statistics are just mind-boggling, but here's the thing. There's something you can do about it. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday, October the 20th, and I'll post the link on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page so you can find out more about A21, what they are all about. They got a really cool little video there of their place in North Carolina. It happens to be in Charlotte. Really neat place there. It is heartbreaking, the stories. I mean, most of the time, women are trapped. They are going for something that they think will lead to a better life, and they're trapped into this. And there's a lot of this going on. There was a thing on the news this morning. There was a bunch of kids rescued, over 100 of them, like 113 or something like that, children rescued all at one time. It's incredible. So to be able to try to do this, they call it the Walk for Freedom, and it's happening in Poughkeepsie. And thank you very much, Jasmine and company, for doing that. I'm going to post the link. Look for it. It's A21.org, basically. And then I'm going to post the link so you can register and find out more about what they're doing on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page. So look for that. And I just saw the statistic about Parker Brothers making more Monopoly money than the U.S. Mint makes money, which to me, it sounds like a pretty good deal. I mean, if you want a lot of money flying around, it should be Monopoly money, right? But it reminded me of Dr. James Dobson's wonderful story years ago when his daughter came home from college. One weekend, and she was a freshman in college. She comes home, and she says, "Dad, I've got a new board game we're going to play." And he said, "Really, honey? What is it?" And she said, "It's called Monopoly." And Dr. Dobson said and admitted, "I had some thoughts right away of, poor child, you are going to learn from the master on how to do business, yes, the Monopoly way. You know, I'm going to teach you about the pitfalls of owning property and how it can be accumulated. I'm going to destroy you." And I'm sorry. He was kind of thinking that in his mind. And so after dinner, they set out the Monopoly and started to play. And he was having so much fun and glee in schooling his daughter, as people who are Monopoly aficionados do. Don't try to sit there if you've never done this to your kids. Don't tell me that you haven't, you know, schooled them on a board game, especially Monopoly, because that's the one you can really, you know, your poor little elementary school children, and you're, you know, more rent for me. Anyway, so he cleaned up, and they were all mad at him and everything, and he was feeling all great, you know, and they just got up and left. Didn't help him clean up at all. Just went to bed. Nah, that's it, you know. And he's sitting there putting the pieces back in the box. And Dr. Dobson said, "It hit me just as powerful as God speaking right there to me." He said, "You know what? It doesn't matter. All the stuff that you have, all the time spent accumulating, the joy even in it, when you leave this earth, it's going to be just like that Monopoly game. It's going to all go back in the box." In fact, he wrote a book about it. It all goes back in the box. And remember that, you know, and you get caught up in give and take of business. You know, I like to think about that as the Ebenezer Scrooge way. I say, good man of business. When the business is what God wants you to take care of. What's God's business? Taking care of the downtrodden, the children, the people who are hurt, right? But anyway, so I just thought I'd just share that little piece of information there with you about it all goes back in the box. It's a pretty good thing to remember.
How are you feeling on this glorious day?
Yes. The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
And I'd like to introduce you to Jasmine. Well, I was going to say Jasmine Francis. I almost said Jasmine Murray. Jasmine Francis here on Cup of Joe Morning Show. Jasmine, welcome. And I know you're with an outfit called A21. What exactly do you do there?
So I am a co-host for this year's Walk for Freedom for Poughkeepsie. So my pastor's wife and I decided that we wanted to do it in the city of Poughkeepsie this year because there is no walks up here. The closest one besides this one is in the city. We submitted that paperwork to A21, and they approved us. And so we're leading this year's walk in Poughkeepsie.
Wow. Now, a lot of people may be hearing about A21 for the very first time. I've been following you guys on Twitter. I just absolutely love it. I'm very excited. Jasmine, can you explain to my friends what A21 is all about?
Yes, A21 is an organization that is committed to ending human trafficking through a three-step program. So they rescue victims of human trafficking through working with local government and just information from different sources that they get. And then they put them into a home, one of their homes that they have across the country and across the world, whichever one is closest to them. And in that home, they give them rehabilitation. They do counseling. They do education. They help them get back on their feet. And then the third part of that program is to help them get financially stable through getting a job, finding them housing and things like that so they can support themselves.
You're awesome, Jasmine. I want to tell you a story about Ella, who's not a real name, but she had been in foster care system for years, and she turned 18. She felt alone with nowhere to go and no one to turn to. When a woman said her boyfriend could help her, she accepted, and then she found herself forced in to sell herself. And that's what Walking for Freedom really is all about. It absolutely is. And it's coming up in Poughkeepsie. I'm going to give you all the information that you need to know about A21. And you can learn all about what's going on with human trafficking and stuff. It's the statistics, again, may overwhelm you a little bit, but and the stories are phenomenal. And A21 is there as a light to help out, and you can help them out coming up October the 20th in Poughkeepsie, and I'm going to post the link on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook. I was always impressed with Loretta Lynn, who's still around, by the way, a fabulous country singer, and became obviously very wealthy and lives in a big house, a lot like Elvis lived in. That's what it kind of reminds me of. And we know this because I've seen stuff on her that, you know, people, 60 Minutes, people like that have done on her stuff. Of course, the movie was out, A Coal Miner's Daughter. But she does talk about fond memories of growing up in a one-room house, I guess you could call it, in the Hollow. In the coal mining region of Kentucky, was that right? But, you know, her mother reading the Bible to them and things like that and not having that much and looking forward to simple things. And sometimes, you know, even today, you can look back. There are things that you know because you grew up, well, let's just, as our friend says, poor, really.
Growing
right?
up in poverty, you poverty. Learn things when you're poor that you would not know if you had money. When I was 7 years old, the family car was a 1965 Chevy Impala that was not a lowrider on purpose. We had a big family and a hoopty, man. Who knows something about a hoopty? Used to call it a jalopy. They call it a hoopty now. This car had no reverse. Because the transmission was messed up. You couldn't make a left turn because the steering column was messed up. Okay, you cannot make up jokes like this, all right? This is a testimony right now. I was 7 years old when we had this hoopty you couldn't even make a left turn in. But at the age of seven, I already knew that three rights equal to left. Rich kids didn't know that. My teachers thought I was advanced.
That's right. Teenagers on their to-do list probably don't have in there to check off solving global problems. Hey, let's face it. Most of us don't have on our to-do list. I mean, if I can get the garbage out and mop the floor, I'm doing pretty good. But solving a global problem. And you know what's a global problem? And I haven't really thought about this. But it's called e-waste, electronic waste. And I have to admit, that is a problem. We usually just kind of like keep it or just throw, if it's small enough, like your phone or whatever, people just throw it in the garbage. It really has components in there that really shouldn't be in the garbage. No kidding, right? But here's the thing. I saw with these teenage girls had invented an app to take care of your e-waste. I thought they were from Delhi. And then I read a little closer and then it said they're from Delhi, India. See, it's all in a little bit of semantics there, but it's still really, it's awesome right there. They're really cool, and they've gotten all kinds of awards and scholarships and things like this. Basically, it's called EDO, which I guess it should be pronounced E, capital E, and then E-D-O, EDO. I guess that's what they call it. And when you go on there, this is the instructions you get.
Let's start by posting an ad first. You will have to enter a couple of details of your e-waste, which you want to sell. There are description, quantity, address, device name, date, and time for pickup, and that's all. Click the post button, and your ad is posted.
Hey, there you go. All right. And basically what they're doing is they're matching up people who recycle the stuff with those of you who have e-waste, and I guess we're all going to do that. They call themselves Team Cantavitis. They're working together to create this mobile app, and as I said, it's called I guess it's EDO, capital E, little E-D-O, EDO, and allows for full communication between e-waste producers and authorized recyclers, and they won the senior division of the 2018 Technovision World Pitch Summit in San Jose, California, and they got a $50,000 in scholarships and all kinds of neat stuff there. And they're just amazing. And it came from a place where people were probably like, wow, how do you feel about that? It was just amazing. That's pretty cool. So kudos to you guys right there. They're basically, you know, weren't trying to get scholarships. That wasn't their goal. Their goal basically was to take care of a problem. The Sound of Life. Good morning. It is 8:19, and Beth Moore is going around the country, of course, has big conferences for women. And she had a very special conference not long ago in the Southwest. It was for women who were indigenous people. And during that, her drummer, his name is Scott, he came out and got on his knees, and I think it was impromptu. I don't think she knew this was going to happen. That's the way it sounded like. And he basically was asking for forgiveness for anything that was done by a man to another woman, one of those women. And really, the Holy Spirit just really, as Beth said, just fell into place. And, you know, God can work through those acts of submission like that and really very honest. And it was just a really great, great time. So she said, we've had things like that happen before in our conferences. Beth Moore, Living Proof event is coming to Albany, New York, yeah, the Times Union Center. And it will be a powerful biblical teaching. Beth Moore is a best-selling author and a teacher. She knows how to connect with women. Okay, you. She does. She knows how hard it is to get a babysitter, all right, for the kid, you know, on short notice and things like that. Just little things like that. She knows and she relates. And it's called Living Proof Event. Worship is by Travis Cottrell. He's a great guy. And if you'd like to win a pair of tickets, maybe you've been like, man, I'd really like to go, you know, take my friend to go, but we just can't. I don't think we're going to be able to work it in the budget right now. Maybe you'll win a pair of tickets. We've got five of them to give away. We'll be announcing that tomorrow morning. Just click on the Beth Moore banner on our mobile app or at our website, soundoflife.org. And a little practicality, October is National Bullying Prevention Month. And there's something very real that you can do. Research shows that direct adult responses to bullying ends the behavior over time. So if you see it, stop it. Bullying is the result of an unequal power dynamic where the dominant person attacks a weaker individual. Happens in politics, on the playground, and in schools, and at workplace, and churches, and homes. It doesn't. Wherever you witness an altercation or public exchange, ask yourself these questions. Who has the power in this situation? Are they using that power to dominate, control, or manipulate? And if so, you're witnessing bullying. And maybe your teenager suddenly doesn't want to go to school, or they're having trouble sleeping. Okay, and maybe there are signs of anxiety, something like that. This is just possibilities. It's possible that they're being bullied. So I'm going to help you out. There is a Watch Our Conversation kit on bullying. You can watch the video right there with what I'm going to post. You watch it with your teens. It's good for a youth group. And remember this, hurt people hurt other people. So usually they're hurt as well, too, okay? And they usually, it's a product of what they're doing passing on. That's the thing. So I'm going to post this link to this film that you can use to start a needed conversation for your students, and you can do that as early as today because I'm going to post it right now.
Your daily dose of encouragement.
Difference between life and death. That's an exaggeration. Okay, a little bit. It is.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The sound of life.
They're associated with some really bad ideas and things like that, even just recently. And you probably know that. I mean, there's loud voices out there that make it to the news outlets that are giving evangelical Christians a really bad name, you know? I mean, people may think of you as intolerant, a bigot, you know, a lack of respect for you and what you believe, and not just for women. That's for everybody as well, too. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, as yet another hurricane has kind of just now moved off and going through Long Island, going to move out into the ocean, but left incredible devastation in Florida. People, the evangelical churches will be there quietly doing the work, handing out Water Samaritan's Purse. They got the trucks there or going there right now. A lot of times people, there's certain denominations that specialize in doing certain things. And I know there's one that they said if you get a bottle of water, you get a case of water handed to you, you know, as part of a relief effort. That's by one particular denomination. I know the Southern Baptists specialize in getting groups together to make meals. They will set up centers where you can go get a meal, and people will come in from all over the country and work, say, for a week or something like that. It's pretty amazing. And here's the thing that's really interesting. They've been doing it forever. Ever since Jesus walked the earth, this is so incredible. And you say, Joe, how in the world do you know that? Well, because in the words of Emperor Julian, the apostate in 4th century Rome, despite his desperate attempts to slow the spread of Christianity throughout the Roman Empire, his efforts were unsuccessful. The reason? Because Christians throughout the empire were doing what they had done since Jesus' resurrection, and that was caring for the vulnerable and the oppressed. They stood under the Milvian Bridge and rescued the babies that were thrown over. Oh, yes, that was a real thing. They rescued babies that were left on the side of the road, of the highway, and to great peril to themselves, great risk to themselves, and it spread. King Julian, not the Disney King Julian, this one was real in the 4th century in Rome. He said, and I quote, "These impious Galileans not only feed their own poor, but ours also, welcoming them into their love." You should know that the term Galileans was a reference to Jesus' hometown and was used as a slur used to disparage Christians. King Julian added, "Whilst the pagan priests neglect the poor, the hated Galileans devote themselves to works of charity." Why did they do that? Because self-sacrifice is modeled for us in the mission, ministry, and sacrifice of Jesus. Not grasping for worldly power, but for service.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
This is not an herbal tea morning. This is a coffee morning.
The Sound of Life.
Got to tell you about this, woman, who I'll tell you, because it just kind of shows you the stamina of women, I think, a lot of it. And I compare it to men. Now, she's running a half marathon, which is 13 miles or 13.1 miles, something like that. She's out in Ashbury Park, New Jersey recently, and she's on mile 10. So, you know, she's like, I got this, man. I'm going to do a half marathon. And all of a sudden, what happened is what we dread happening in places like the Taconic and some other places, especially this time of the year. And, you know, that is very unusual for a human being to be. But this deer, when deer are going to jump out and run across the road, they don't pay any attention to anything that's going on. And a buck jumped out of the road and hit her, knocked her down. She got some attention from the EMTs there. And they said, "You're okay." You know, they gave her some emergency treatment or whatever it was, some scratches or whatever. They encouraged her to finish the race because they knew she was a woman. This is my own, you know, editorial in here. They took a look. They're like, she's like, you know, okay, I got my Band-Aids on. The bleeding stopped. I'll just tuck my hair up under my head and I can finish this race. A man, they would have to carry him off on a stretcher, you know, but women just, you know, they've got what it takes to finish that marathon, I'll tell you that.
To infinity and beyond.
Post it on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
And now, it's time for...
Things You Didn't Know from My Dad.
Ah, and here's her dad, Wayne.
It's me.
Hey.
And one more disclaimer, that it's things you probably don't know.
Oh, probably don't know. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not that confident about things to say you don't know.
Okay, I got you. What's up?
Joe, are you a fan of the song When Mercy Found Me?
Oh, yeah, I actually am. Yeah, Rhett Walker Band. I remember
that. That's right. Huge song. I love it. I love it. Played all the time. But I've got good news for you, because they've got a new EP that's coming out. It's an EP,
you
not
mean
an LP.
LP.
No, it's an EP.
Okay. No,
so it's got 6 songs on it.
Okay. Oh, I see.
So kind of a shorter album. So it's coming out. And Rhett says they consider themselves, this was a little thing I read that I thought was pretty cool. They consider themselves a Southern band because they mainly come from the Carolinas and Texas.
Okay.
Among other places. Now, here's a quote from Rhett that proves that he's got Southern roots. He says, "Where we're from, it's trucks, tractors, and dirt roads."
Amen, brother.
It doesn't get more Southern than that.
I love that. I remember the fondly remember the dirt roads in eastern North Carolina. They're not like you think of dirt roads around here. They're like sandy roads. It's like driving on a beach almost.
Yeah, that's
true. Is so cool. I love it. Anyway, thanks for bringing back memories, Erwin.
Oh, not a problem. And if you're a fan of the Rhett Walker Band, you can catch them live with 7 Time Down and OBB. Oh, old knowing squire, do you know what OBB stands for?
Actually, I do. It's 3 brothers, so they're the Oswald Brothers Band. So they said, why don't we just call ourselves OBB?
It's got a better ring to it.
Or something like that. They do have an EP, is that it? They got an album out called Brightside. But I'm looking forward to seeing them. I'm planning on going to that concert.
Yeah.
It's a Saturday night, so I can go. I can get out of the house.
That's correct. 7 Time Down and OBB. And the Rhett Walker Band at the Goodwill Church in Montgomery on October 27th.
Boom.
And if you forget, swing on over to thesoundoflife.org and click on the banner for more information.
Because the soundoflife.org is all-knowing.
It is all-knowing. It's got all the good stuff on it, that's
yeah,
for sure.
That's right.
So, Joe, a few weeks back, I took my daughter to the Dutchess County Fair.
Yeah,
we hadn't been there for a few years, and okay. She wanted to go. So, as most people do, we bought her that pop, you know those pop wristbands? It's like a pay one price, and you get to go on all the rides.
I haven't heard of that. Why didn't they have that when my kids were young? I don't know. What a great idea.
I don't know. But you pay one price. But there's always things on there that aren't included in the wristband. And all of the games that they have, which are the most enticing things, not included in the price.
Oh, I see.
So she immediately goes for the games.
Of course.
I know everybody can relate to the fact that eventually you're going to make it to the game where the prize is a goldfish.
Oh, yeah. Remember those days?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're still doing it. Now, my personal standard answer is no. Move along. There are no fish going home with us tonight. Now, Matthew West broke my golden rule. And he played, and he won the fish. And recently,
they won more than one. I think
they did. He won five at a carnival.
Oh boy!
and he recently posted, "We had the best 12 hours with those fish, and we will never forget them. Rest in peace, Fred, Todd, Felicia, Flash, and Sushi."
Yeah, of course.
And I believe we've got a clip of a special song
he wrote
for the occasion.
Being a songwriter, he had to sit there with his daughter in the background, and we'll share the video with you. But it goes something like this. I believe if I can pull it up here magically.
There comes a moment when you know your life will never be the same. And we had that moment when we won you at the carnival game.
It's awesome.
Now if I could ask God for just one more wish, I'd be asking for just one more hour with you. Five fish. But you're gone. You're gone. And we had the best 12 hours of our life with you. You're gone. Fishy, you're gone. But you gone down the drain.
Oh,
that's some great ad-libbing. I like
it. It's awesome. And I'll post the video because it really does add to it with his daughter in the background.
His daughter's hysterical in the background.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're going to move on. I got one more thing for you. We've got to get a little bit serious now. We had a little fun. But for the next minute, recording artist Phil Wickham is asking for prayer for the daughter of his bass player, Josh Auer.
Okay.
Phil wrote, Josh's young daughter Rowan's health is failing.
Uh-oh.
Her body is swollen and her heart is only operating at 20%.
Oh, man.
Recently, I know I've gotten some updates online, Joe. She's been transferred to UCLA to a transplant center, not necessarily because they're going to do a transplant, because they've got the equipment that can help her if she has a serious turn in her health. So Josh is a touring musician, and he's on a fixed income, and they need help and prayers.
Now,
so,
she's a toddler age, right?
I couldn't find her age online, but from the pictures that they're showing, I'm going to guess she's around three, maybe four, but probably around the age of three.
Okay.
So she's very young. I like to take a minute so the whole Sound of Life family can kind of pray for them.
Okay.
So if everyone would pray with me. Father, we lift up to you Josh Auer's family and his daughter Rowan. Please give them the medical medical staff the wisdom to diagnose, to help, and to heal Rowan. Relieve any pain and discomfort that Rowan is going through. And we really ask for a miraculous healing of her heart and her body, which is something that only you can do. Well, Lord, please make your presence felt to the family. As we all have faith that you're going to be there with them in their time of need, and grant them peace and comfort as they stand by Rowan in this health crisis. Let your light shine through them as they interact with the staff and other families going through similar situations. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right.
And for more information on how you can help, you can go to GoFundMe.com and search for Fight with the Auers. And that's spelled AUERS.
That is awesome, Wayne. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
And now it's time for...
Things You Didn't Know from My Dad.
Things I Didn't Know is a lot, and your dad...
Hey,
well, it's not your dad.
I am the dad.
It's you, Wayne.
Joe, I've got some new stuff to tell you about in music news. We've got new music now in rotation on the station from Dan Bremness, awesome. Wherever I Go.
Yep, beautiful song.
Great song. And Unspoken also has a new song I really like called Just Give Me Jesus.
Yes, and we have been playing that for a while. The Jermaine, he wanted to know, he travels with them. He helps him Azer Roadie with Unspoken. Yep. Are you playing that song? I don't think so. So I said, forgive me, I'm just an idiot. Anyway, yes, it's been on.
We're playing it. I also got a sneak peek for you of some upcoming concerts. These are in December, but I wanted to keep these on the radar.
Yeah.
Paul Baloche and Dave Pettigrew.
Yes.
They have a Christmas tour at Goodwill Church on December 6th.
Isn't that cool?
That's awesome. I got to go to one of these. I haven't been to a Christmas show in a
you
long
should.
Time. Austin French and Ben Lane have the Freedom Hymn Christmas tour at New Hope Community Church in Queensbury on December 16th.
Wow. Okay. Very good. You'll hear more about those. So
they're coming up. Yeah, keep your ears open. And I know, you know, this week we're excited to give away tickets to see Beth Moore's Living Proof live event, which
very
is
exciting.
Coming up in October. Now, next week you're going to have an opportunity to win a pair of tickets to see Seventh Time Down, Rhett Walker, and OBB. They'll be playing in Montgomery on October 27th.
Planning on being there. It's going to be very, very exciting. I can't wait. Yeah, Mikey, Seventh Time Down, man.
Now, Joe, you've got a podcast, and my understanding is it's back in action.
Thanks to you, Wayne.
Oh, thank you.
You very much. It sure is. And a little bit extra. Let's a few bonuses. Originally, the podcast was the complete interview that I did with artists.
Right.
So you could hear the whole thing uncut, you know, the sniffles and the O's and the
yeah,
ahs and mm-hmm. all that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
The throat clearing.
Love that. That's still there on the podcast site at soundoflight.org.
It is, but we're putting a compilation together now. So all the stories that you're basically doing every day on the air, Monday to Friday, we're doing a compilation of all the stories together in one long feed. It's going to be about 45 minutes long.
Oh, man.
Those will be on there, too. And listen, I've got some news, Joe, that you don't even know because I just did this.
Okay.
Well, first of all, if you want to see or hear the podcast, you want to go to our homepage at soundoflight.org. Go to Featured Stories section and just click on Cup of Joe Podcast.
There you go.
Now, currently, that's the only place I realize that you can get it. So I've just submitted your show to Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. So pretty soon, everybody everywhere will be able to get it just by searching Joe Hunter, Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Those folks will be getting a good laugh, I'm sure of that. So anyway, that'll be good. Cheer up their day, all right?
Yeah, yeah. So Joe, I've got a little Joe Did You Know for you. For those of who have a hard time reading the Old Testament like myself.
I've been through that some of that. Yeah, it's tough.
Initially in my Christian walk, I started in the Old Testament. I didn't make it very far.
Wow.
But if you go to 1st and 2nd Chronicles, it's an ancient, basically Reader's Digest version of everything that has already taken place in the Bible from Genesis forward. It's abridged and it's simplified and a lot of the nasty stuff is taken out. So if it's been a while since you've been in the Old Testament, perhaps consider 1st and 2nd Chronicles to get you restarted.
All right. Yeah, right. A lot of that is brutal. Not that, I mean, you know, don't judge first. Don't say,
it's all good and you should get to it.
Okay.
But just as an overview, 1st and 2nd Chronicles.
Check it out. Maybe a good way to, you know, the initial look at the Bible.
That's it. And get you back started again.
All right.
And that's all I got for you, Joe.
Oh, man. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.